Blog Talk Radio.
Learn how to take your caring and giving farther with the Caring and Funding Podcast powered by CAP America. CAP America, America's leader in cross-border philanthropy, helps corporations, foundations, wealth advisors, and individuals who wish to give internationally and with enhanced due diligence in the United States. Through its industry-leading grants management program and philanthropic advisory services, CAP America helps donors amplify their impact and ensure their gifts are made in a safe and effective manner. This Caring and Funding Podcast is dedicated to these donors and the charities they support. Our guests are leaders in their field who join us to share tips for success and stories that inspire. Our host is Ted Hart, the CEO of CAP America. After the show, you can find all our podcasts at capamerica.org, on iTunes, and now just say, Alexa, play CAF America on TuneIn. Now, welcome the host of CAP America's Caring and Funding Podcast, Ted Hart.
And welcome to this latest edition of the Caring and Funding Podcast. Today, we are coming to you from the front lines of philanthropy, questions you have and answers that you need. This podcast will share up-to-the-minute information regarding questions funders are asking CAF America today and will provide you with the answers that you need. We'll discuss examples of grants that are being made to help with COVID-19 relief on the ground where it is needed most. Where are the hot spots around the country and around the world? Where is philanthropy making a difference? And here to help me start discussing these issues is Jesse Kraft, our Senior Vice President of External Affairs here at CAF America. Jesse, welcome back here to the Caring and Funding Podcast.
Thanks, Ted.
Jesse, there is so much that's going on, and there is so much money that is flowing into CAF America and out around the world to make a difference on the ground. Well, I want to ask you, what are you hearing from donors right now? What are the hot questions that are on their mind?
Yeah, we're getting a lot of different questions from donors, and many of them are the same. So I think this will be helpful information to quickly share with everyone. The number one question that we're getting, of course, is how quickly can we get money there? That's, of course, a hot topic because everyone wants to react as quickly as possible. The answer for CAF America is that, you know, we have a database of eligible organizations around the world that have already been validated, and we can get money to those organizations quite quickly. We have a page listed on our website, if you just go to our homepage, that links you to all of the different organizations around the world that are currently eligible and are providing COVID-19 relief. For grantees on those pages and others that are on our eligible list, you can get grants to them in as little as 2 days. We're doing 2 weekly grant cycles for these emergency grants right now. And then if there are organizations outside of those lists, we're able to expedite the validation for those organizations so that we can get grants to them quickly as well. So the turnaround can
Jesse,
be quite
I just
quick
want to jump in there. You mentioned the list on the CAF America website. You can find that, as you said, right from the homepage. You can go directly to CAFAmerica.org/COVID-19-relief-response. And on there, we have 205 at the time of the recording of this podcast eligible charities that are providing direct COVID relief right on the ground, the largest list that's available for corporate America. The list has been put together specifically drawing from, as you said, our eligible list. Help our listeners understand why that matters, that a charity is already eligible with us, to the question that you posed at the top of the show here today for that speed, that possible 2-day turnaround. Why does it matter that they're already eligible?
Yes. So there, in order to make international grants, there are IRS regulatory and federal regulatory requirements that we have to abide by before we can legally make a grant to the organization, and it requires an application process, which right now, you know, many organizations are completing their applications right now still during this difficult time, but of course it's an extra burden on them. So if you're getting to organizations that are already on our eligible list, they won't have to complete that process again, and it's less of a burden for those organizations in order for them to receive funding. So in order to expedite things more, that those organizations are already set up.
Jesse, why does it matter that CAF America has 205 charities already eligible, representing 41 countries? Are we actually funding in 41 countries? Do we actually have donors in this country that are looking to fund around the world like that for COVID relief?
Absolutely, yes. We have single donors that are giving to more countries than that right now, and we're working with them to identify local organizations on the ground that need support, whether they are or are not on our list. And because, as I said, we are validating a number of charities now that are further reaching than some of the orgs that are already on our list. So we're constantly adding and updating that COVID-19 page.
Right. That's why I made sure that we said it's 205 at the time of the recording, because that is updated by our thought leadership team on a daily basis. Jesse, you mentioned when you started your answer the regulatory compliance of getting money outside of the United States, and that's important, but that's only part of the story when you're looking to provide global relief. What are some of the restrictions that CAF America can help donors get through in getting money into the host countries where these charities are?
Yeah, it's actually a really great question based on the timing of all of this, because there are restrictions for giving into certain countries, and it's actually really important that we follow those restrictions and how they're changing given COVID-19. We are seeing in some countries a little bit of relief on those requirements. So, for example, we just had an organization in Pakistan come to us that said that they don't have foreign approval, but they were given a temporary license that enabled them to receive emergency funding during COVID-19 up until September 2020. So they've been waiting for their foreign funding approval, but they received an interim approval because of this situation. And so we're seeing examples like that where there is a little bit of easing or different actions that governments are taking in order to allow their charities on the ground to receive funding from foreign sources more quickly. So that's something we're keeping on top of to make sure that we understand not only what normally happens in those countries in terms of foreign funding restrictions, but any changes that are occurring due to COVID-19.
And because CAF America does this day in and day out, our donors can count on the fact that CAF America is up to speed on the changes as they're happening, as we're making grants. Jesse, you said that we have a lot of donors making a lot of contributions all over the world. Where is that funding being directed? What kinds of charities are our donors supporting right now?
It's really across the map, because as we've seen, the effects of COVID-19 are extremely far-reaching, and we have some organizations or some donors, for example, that are focusing just on supplying PPE and medical equipment and support directly to healthcare workers, which is, I guess you'd say, more a very direct response to COVID-19. But then we also have donors that are focusing on the sort of the ripple effects of COVID-19, in the sense that they're providing more funding to food banks and other support systems like that have had to build their capacity to feed more unemployed and jobless, you know, different situations that people have fallen into due to this crisis. So there's again another group that's funding the need built out of the ripple effect. And then there are some that are really focusing on the long term more, that are looking at supporting their grantee partners that might have lost other funding. And so maybe they're not directly responding to this crisis, but the donors want to make sure that these charities survive in the long term because they've lost other funding sources. So there are more buckets than that, but I would say that those are the three primary that donors are funding in.
Terrific. Let's take a look. We've got a couple of special guests with us here today. Ileana Lang is a private donor services officer here at CAF America. And Ileana, you are coming from the front lines of philanthropy to tell us about how this is affecting the charities. So our donors, Jesse Kraft has just shared with us, they are looking to send more money to more charities, funding more to charities that they already have a relationship with. What are you you hearing from the charities who are on the receiving end of this philanthropy?
Definitely. Thank you, Ted. That's an excellent question. And from the charities, we're hearing a lot. We're really hearing requests for sometimes unrestricted or flexible funding, just because the needs are so varied at this time and changing week to week. We're also hearing from a lot of charities that are working with vulnerable populations. So this includes charities that are working with the elderly, with youth, directly with healthcare workers, working with individuals who don't have homes, and also working with refugee populations and asylum seekers. So we're really kind of focused on charities that are working with these beneficiaries. And, you know, one great example, I was just speaking with this charity last week, Crisis UK, and their response is very active, and they are delivering essential packages to homeless people. So, for example, during this time, they're providing them with cell phones so that they can keep in contact and follow the local health advice in their region. So that's a really key example, and we're hearing very similar requests from other charities for this type of support.
So from the charity's perspective, there's a lot of stress in trying to deal with stay-at-home, social distancing, and still be able to provide the services to many times vulnerable populations while they're looking over their shoulder, wondering if they've got the funding to put all this together. How are charities dealing with that kind of stress, and how can the funders who are listening to this podcast help?
Definitely. So I think the most important kind of key takeaway from this question is that the funders can help by directly listening to charities and being flexible with what they are willing to fund at this time. So, for example, some charities need support for just better internet connection for their employees who are now working from home, and they need to continue their work, continue supporting their beneficiaries. That's a really key need. We're seeing, you know, charities that work in the education sector. Funders can most definitely help them by kind of transitioning their activities to online or remote services and providing them with the funding to be able to do so.
Thank you, Ileana. We appreciate that. I've got another special guest who's going to come in and join us here. Lauren Previty is Director of Corporate Services here at CAF America. And Lauren, you've got the other side of this. You're right from the front lines of philanthropy. What are you hearing from the funders who are trying to listen to the charities, trying to make a difference and trying to be impactful? Bring us up to speed on what you're hearing from the front lines.
Sure, Ted. I'm so glad that you asked that question. I think from the corporate perspective, it's certainly been a balance of, you know, supporting organizations who are providing a global response while also we're seeing a lot of corporates who are looking to fund organizations where their employees are living and living through this global pandemic. We're also seeing a really strong emphasis on supporting long-term partners. And I just worked on a grant very recently here in the last week that I thought was a great example of this. We facilitated a grant for a Fortune 500 corporation that is supporting a three-year project to train local women in India on a number of different sort of work training programs. And while this grant program is scheduled to continue on, this corporation really recognized the need for some incremental support and interim support for this charity during this very challenging time. And very similar to what Ileana described, it was very interesting that they, you know, had really strong communication with the organization to understand what their needs were and were able to support the development of digital tools, some changes in the overall programming, and so that they could continue their work and you know, be able to implement that three-year program as well.
It sounds like, Lauren, that flexibility on the part of the funder is paramount here. Is this a difficult topic for funders to be able to manage in this time of COVID-19? Because a lot of them are really trying to turn their entire grant process around on a dime.
I think so. It's been an interesting change in dynamics for sure. I think, you know, in the traditional grant making structure, we're used to having benchmarks and KPIs and having clear timelines. And now with this global pandemic, it's very difficult to work within that same framework. And so this flexibility is key. And I would say many of our clients now are leaning on CAP America and our expertise and really the communication that we've had with the charities to really understand what their needs are and how those needs are changing so rapidly. And, you know, I think we learned a lot from our recent survey of all of the charities that we work with, and we've really been able to use that to feed that information back to our clients and help them develop a flexible approach to their grant making.
That's terrific. We're going to take a very quick break, and when we come back, we'll be back with Senior Vice President of External Affairs, Jessie Kraft, and we're going to be asking her the biggest concerns that funders have and how those concerns can be managed, and we'll be right back.
Remember, our podcasts and archives are always available 24 hours a day at capamerica.org, on iTunes, or just say, Alexa, play CAF America on TuneIn. Now, back to the Caring and Funding Podcast and our host, Ted Hart.
And we're back here with the Caring and Funding Podcast and with Jessie Kraft. Jessie, the biggest concerns that funders have that you and your team are hearing about every single day right here on the front lines of philanthropy, how can those concerns be managed?
Yeah, so we're a number of different concerns, one of them being how do they manage programs with their current grantees? And Lauren did a great job of touching on this as well. And a lot of work that we're doing right now is managing, editing grant agreements and things like that for past grants so that we can be, you know, flexible with the grantees that we've already sent funding to. So many donors have come to us concerned, thinking that, you know, well, they won't be able to finish the project in time because of this crisis. So now what? And so we're working with our grantees to modify our agreements and things like that so that it accommodates these new changes. So we're working with donors to manage those concerns. Another major concern they're having is, you know, a lot of them want to support employees during this time. They have many employees who've been laid off or furloughed or things like that. And fortunately, we have a great podcast that was recorded last week about this topic, specifically about employee relief. So if you're getting those questions, I would point you to that podcast. But that's certainly an ongoing concern of our donors. Another concern and question that they've had is how can they quickly involve employees in their giving program? You know, they have budget, of course, set aside for themselves for this purpose, but they want their employees to give to this as well. And so we've been setting up a number of different funds that employees and the corporations can give into, and they discuss, you know, how they want that funding to be used, and we help advise them based on their goals. And then, you know, a big reason for this podcast is a huge question they're asking us is, you know, what is everyone else doing? And so we bring these types of resources to you and are happy to discuss with any of our donors what we're seeing on the ground and what other donors are doing to respond, because we find that that's really helpful in the planning for their relief grants themselves.
And Jessie, our listeners can find that webinar at capamerica.org/webinars. I want to bring back Lauren Previty so that she can help us take a look at some of these emerging trends that you just talked about and how our corporate donors are able to benefit from the experience of CAF America and all of the various donors that we're working with to be able to be very nimble in their giving. Welcome back here to the Caring and Funding Podcast, Lauren Previty. You heard Jessie talking about the biggest concerns that our funders have and how they can be managed. How does the experience of CAF America play into the capacity for funders to move very quickly and be very nimble?
That's a great question, Ted. I think, you know, one of the things that we have really seen on the corporate side of our work is this increase interest in getting, as Jesse said, getting employees involved in giving and giving employees the opportunity to support organizations that they care about that are supporting the communities that they live in. And while that sounds like something that would be easy to set up, it definitely isn't. And there's quite a bit of strategy and thought that needs to go into that. One of the first things that I think is really important in setting something like that up and setting up an employee giving program is really looking at who are the employees going to be giving to. Are they looking to support organizations around the world? And has done due diligence been completed on those organizations? So many of our clients are leaning on CAP America's list, as we talked about earlier, our list of eligible organizations who have been fully validated and vetted by CAP America and are ready to receive funding very quickly. It's also important to look at – oh, sorry, go ahead, Ted.
No, go ahead.
I think it's also really important to be clear about the overall mission of this giving program. Is it meant to support current partners so that they can continue their work? Is the mission to support certain types of organizations like food banks? And really just thinking about how you're communicating that back to the employees, I think, is incredibly important, too, so that they understand who they're supporting and how they can go about doing that.
Terrific. Jesse, we're going to come back to you because in our dialogue so far with our experts, we've been focused on traditional charities, and we've been focusing on many different kinds of donors, grant makers. But are there any specific aspects of giving for COVID relief that our donors should be aware of for initiatives that are being undertaken by government entities, towns and municipalities? This is a global pandemic that is affecting communities around the world. We are aware of and see a lot of government initiatives. How does philanthropy play into that?
Yeah, we are seeing a lot of creative thinking, I would say, around which types of entities to give to during this. Government entities are a huge part of this. There are certain towns in Italy, for example, that we're working with that are providing specific relief efforts to their local economies and local communities. And it is possible, so under IRS regulations and actually under an executive order, foreign government entities are actually determined that they are equivalent, so we can treat them as if they had an equivalency determination. However, we have to ensure that we have proof that they're a government entity, and we have to restrict them to a specific charitable grant purpose. So it is possible. Sometimes it's more challenging to work with those types of entities who aren't used to answering the types of questions we have to ask. But we found that many of them, of these government entities, are quite motivated right now and will work with us. So we have been making a lot of grants to that type of work. Additionally, we have been making a few grants to for-profit entities that might be providing free food to healthcare workers or undertaking specific nonprofit charitable initiatives that we can isolate within the work that they're doing. So there's been a lot of great creativity in this funding that donors have been requesting.
Yeah, so you mentioned you used the word creativity and creativity existing within regulatory frameworks. It takes a lot of skill to make sure that we are meeting the needs on the ground, as we say, on the front lines of philanthropy. But does that mean that regulations go away? Does that mean because there's a global pandemic, philanthropy can be given in any sort of form? Do our donors still have to stay within the rubric of established regulatory compliance?
Yeah, it's a good point, and actually something that we get asked by donors quite frequently. They've come to us and said, well, we're in a global pandemic and it's a national emergency. Can't we just say that these rules don't apply, or hasn't the IRS come out and said that you can, avoid these rules now? And the answer is no. We do still have all of the same regulations that we have to abide by. And so, a big part of what CAP America's role is right now is in helping our donors navigate those rules to be able to be creative, but do it effectively and within the regulatory space. So it's still a keystone of our mission as a nonprofit, is to make these grants, but make them in a compliant way. And that's our value.
And of course,
that we're bringing
donors who work with CAF America can count on the fact that every grant is going to be made with 100% regulatory compliance. But Jesse, sometimes the rules do change, and under the CARES Act, which is the third U.S. Act that's providing relief for COVID-19, there were some changes and some enhancements to charitable giving rules. A couple of them specifically I want to talk to you about today, and that is that individuals in the year 2020, if they give a gift in a certain way, can take 100% tax deductibility of that. And corporations have had their deduction limit lifted from 10% to 25%. But Jesse, there again, there are regulatory hurdles to be aware of, because those gifts have to be made in a very specific way. Help us understand the main questions that our donors have as it pertains to the CARES Act.
Yeah. So as you mentioned, the deductibility limits have changed under the CARES Act, but the caveat that was implemented within the CARES Act is that those deductibility limits don't apply to gifts to donor advised funds, and that's of course challenging. But we have another option at CAF America where we can accept restricted gifts for organizations that are eligible with us. And we've had, there are other, in the past, there have been other situations where using this restricted mechanism has been helpful under certain circumstances, and the CARES Act is another one of them. So what we're doing is working with donors who come to us with questions about the CARES Act, wanting to know how they can make their donations to us apply within this framework, and the restricted gift option is how we advise them. And actually, we have a full podcast on this topic as well that I think is really useful, more questions about it.
Right. And our listeners can find that podcast at cafamerica.org/CAF podcasts. So I want to go back to Ileana Lang, who was with us just a moment ago. She's our private donor services officer here at CAF America. And Ileana, what are the main challenges for getting these funds in the hands of the intended beneficiary? Again, many times these are countries all over the world. What are some of the special hurdles? And again, your expertise on the front line is with the charities. How can the charities be prepared to receive this funding from our corporate and individual donors? So, Ileana, welcome back. Can you help us work through these challenges for getting the funds in the hands of the intended beneficiaries?
Yes, Ted, happy to. And I would really love to highlight a specific example here regarding some bank closures around the world. And, you know, one way that charities can really, once they have been selected for a grant and funding is on its way, one way that they can really kind of expedite the process and make sure that the funding comes into their bank account quickly is to have a really close communication with their bank. Let your bank know that the funding is on its way. Ask your bank, do I need to provide any additional documentation? We've been hearing from some charities on the ground, in particular local contacts in the past, they had to go to the bank and provide specific documentation in person in order to confirm that that grant was for them. And so obviously with stay-at-home orders and with bank closures, that's not possible, but you can still communicate with your bank in different ways, and that's something that we would really recommend to charities to kind of be prepared for the grant that's coming your way and be prepared to receive it and be prepared to adjust to the changing world today.
And of course, one of the things that CAF America does is we stick with it, right? We work with the donor and the charity, and we're the intermediary that brings both sides together with regulatory compliance for those funds leaving the United States and regulatory compliance for those funds entering the host country where that charity is. We're watching the time here, and so we're going to go back to Lauren Previty, Director of Corporate Services at CAF America, for wrap-up and final advice, keeping in mind that primarily we want to give our best advice to our funders, those who are looking to provide help with COVID relief on the ground where it is needed most. Lauren, best final recommendations and advice that you can give to funders.
Sure. I think the best advice that I can give is just that CAF America is here to support you. You know, it's so inspiring to see how our donors are responding in really such a variety of creative ways. And I think it's really important to remember that CAF America is here to support you in facilitating that creative response. And, you know, that we're here to help you navigate all of the regulatory frameworks that will drive your grant making. So, you know, we're here for support.
Terrific, terrific. And, of course, you can email us at info@cafamerica.org or call us at 202-793-2232. Ileana Lang, officer on the private donor services team at CAF America, best advice that you can provide?
Definitely. To our funders, I would like to provide advice to really listen to charities on the ground or collect advice from an intermediary that is directly listening to charities on the ground to understand how your philanthropic dollars can have the greatest and most effective impact for both immediate need and the years to come.
Terrific, terrific. Back to Jesse Kraft, Senior Vice President, External Affairs at CAF America. Jesse, there's never been a time that I can remember that the urgency has been so great and the global response so complete, and so many different kinds of funders that are coming to us wanting to make a difference. That just fills my heart and feeds my soul to see that. But that's an awful lot of extra work, and I know you and your team are fielding a lot of questions. What's the last piece of advice that you can share with our listeners here that will just give them a leg up when they're trying to put their philanthropy to work on the front lines of COVID relief?
Definitely, yeah. I think it's important to remember that, you know, everyone is jumping to manage their grant making in a way that's responding immediately to the needs right now. But what we've also been telling donors is that within your budget, make sure that you're planning for the long term as well. You know, the need is great now, but with the economic downturn that we're seeing, the need will also be great in the future, and you'll have charity partners and people on the ground that are struggling in the long term. So set aside some budget for the long-term relief efforts as well, and you'll be happy that you did later, so that you can continue the level of wonderful support that we're seeing right now.
Terrific. Jesse, thank you. Thank you all for listening today on the Caring and Funding podcast. We are here to provide support. Today we've provided you, I hope, some very interesting information and very important advice right from the front lines of philanthropy. Thank you for joining us today.
You've been listening to the Caring and Funding podcast, powered by CAF America. Tell all your friends and colleagues to check out our archives, sign up for our free newsletter, and download our iPad and iPod-friendly podcasts at cafamerica.org. Thanks for listening to the Caring and Funding Podcast.